Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's me, Laura.
I'm here for the...
I'd like to speak with Ari Aster, please.
Hello, Laura.
Hi, Chantel.
Hi, Chantel. Nice of you to reach back to me.
It's so funny that you thought you were going to get a free pair of tights.
How lucky would that be?
How lucky would that have been for you?
Isn't that what she said?
Yeah.
How nice would that have been?
All right, Chantel.
Like business with Chantel. I love a business lesson with Chantel.
An e-com lesson.
We have a lot to discuss today.
There's so much to discuss.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara. And this is
Gallery Ghouls. Thank you for having me back on.
Thanks for being here. This podcast is a journey.
Paimon brought me back. Paimon brings me back each week.
Week after week, Paimon delivers the goods.
I sit in my car.
Carrie floats through the door on his like tiptoe, like floating through, and then is positioned on the couch
without a head.
So uh-huh. He's just podcasting now from his neck.
The neck below.
I'm podcasting with Carrie, who's headless, but sound just comes out, and I'm like, well,
my throat vibrates.
And it kind of makes mouth.
No, I sit in my Honda Element outside before I come in, and I just like pray to Paimon that we'll have a good. and I get showered in coins, and then I make my way over here.
Your car fills up with coins,
and then I'm like, good.
Yeah, and
I'm
then
ready.
There's like a horrible accident that happens outside where your head comes off.
Mm-hmm. Remember last week when that guy was like, my car is gone.
Yeah.
So SOS. I came over last week.
Didn't you get yelled at last week too?
I got yelled at by someone. So I was driving to Lara's. I crossed the main road to get to your place, and as I was driving, this person ran at the last minute across the pedestrian walk.
Yeah.
And I like was really close to them. It was some jogger in a
People are always doing that on these streets.
Some middle-aged guy without a shirt on. And I honked at him because I was like, I don't want to hit you. Mm-mm. And he gave me the finger. And then my window is down. And these two guys that were sitting outside the store started yelling at me. And they were going, oh, come on. Look what you, like, did you have to honk? And I was in a mood. So I stopped my car.
Carrie, not one to let it go, decided.
Not on the road.
To have some words back.
I stopped my car and I said, did you guys say something? Or I said, what'd you guys say? Because it was like these two dudes, these two like clearly like straight bros that were just hanging. And I was like, what's up? And they were like, what's up is that you're a loud, obnoxious person and you didn't need to honk at that guy and you're causing like a lot of noise. And I was like, he ran across the pedestrian walk like when there wasn't a go sign. And then they went, ugh! And then they started like heckling me. And then I said, why are you shaming me? I was coming home after work. I was just like in a mood.
You were in a mood and you decided to like confront. I did that you were asserting yourself.
I wasn't like mean, but there was like probably an air of menace. So like, what's up, guys?
It's both like when people stop to like have a conversation and they're in the car, like things get escalated, but nothing got out of control.
So I drove off.
It was very measured.
And then I saw you with Tony and then we were talking outside for a second and this guy just came out of nowhere. It was like magic hour lighting. This guy just came out of nowhere and was like,
truly out of nowhere. Like, where did he come from?
I don't know.
He appeared
in our, like, we just both turned. I guess we just were just not looking.
You're in conversation. You were relaying this story that just happened.
And then we turn and this guy is just there and he goes, have you guys seen my car?
He goes, do they have like tow laws on this street?
And I was like, not right now. I think there's like certain days. And then he goes, oh, my car was stolen. But he was like kind of...
he seemed out of it. And then I was like, I mean, if you parked in front of someone's driveway, they might have towed it. And he's like, no, my car was just here. Now it's missing. I don't know where it is.
My friend. And I was like, and then I was thinking, because I've been confused on these streets before. And I was like, I've done it where like I think my car is on one street and then it's actually on the next block. So I think we were both like, maybe it's on another block. And he's like, no, I parked it in front of my friend's place right there in that beige building. And we were like, okay. And then
I tried to like tell him.
He wanted us to be like, I felt bad, but like he wanted us to be involved.
Yeah. And I don't have the time. I basically was like, Google it. And then you'll find out like where it was maybe towed to. Cause I don't
Google it.
I mean,
Google it.
Just Google it, babe. Like,
I know.
I hope it's not stolen. That would be bad. I don't think that it was stolen in like broad daylight, like
that would
but then
wild.
Again, you never know.
You never know in LA.
Things but happen on these streets.
But I was like, and then
he wandered off.
But I took it to an extra like Samaritan view, and I was like, I'll call the police if you want.
I was like, no, you won't.
Yeah. But I was like, I was like, this will shake him off our trail. And I was like, I'll call the police. And he was like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, and then he wandered off into the
as
abyss.
As if he didn't know how to call 911.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, I just assumed.
I'll alert the authorities.
I'll alert the authorities.
I'm sure that his car was maybe parked on, like, a different block.
Maybe.
Or maybe he had a lot of parking tickets and it got towed.
Yeah. I just paid a parking ticket today. City of West Hollywood gets you.
Oh, they love to get you.
I left my car here when I was out of town and I...
on a street sweeping day?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Which I'm usually good at.
They like won't not. Allow that.
Nope.
But
they,
every
but
time.
They mail you the ticket and they're like, they already make you feel like you've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like they mailed it to me and I was like, oh shit, did this, I thought I had till September 14th. And then it was like urgent, you know? And then you turn the back and you're like, no, you're still good.
Yeah.
So they troll you.
They troll hard.
Yeah.
They love like a parking ticket for anything. I think there was one time that I like, should have gotten a parking ticket and then for some magical reason didn't.
No, those parking people are,
they're Hawkeye-ing.
Yeah, you just see them skittling around.
They're like,
I wish they rode on like tricycles.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun.
Because parking meter people aren't police, are they?
Parking enforcement is like
its own deal.
It's like a branch of the city, I think.
Hmm.
But they probably act like they're the police.
There are the cops to me.
Yeah. The cops.
They're a bunch of dirty cops.
The pigs. They are.
They are enforcing like random street parking.
But like I don't fuck like because I street park at night. I never like. I'm like I'm always going like, is this okay to like a like someone walking by? I'm like, can you see if this is okay? Like
you're involving pedestrians in your parking drama.
I involve people in my drama, much like
our friend, our whose friend, car may or may not be stolen,
and also much like our
the queen of drama.
Okay, guys, so we're very blessed that you're like this you're with us in a very fragile time because both of us have just read the cut piece
about the Natalie
Caroline Calloway cut piece that has been foretold and been pretty hyped up. Not sure if it lived up to totally all the hype, but it didn't.
But it's been hyped for like the better part of a week now.
Yeah.
And Paimon's calling.
Paimon's calling.
And Paimon delivered today in the form of this article.
So Natalie, I'm sure.
I'm thinking most of the readers know who Caroline Calloway is, but if you don't, you really need to Google it and get with the times. But also,
she's basically an influencer who
she's not an influencer though. She started as an influencer, but then became something else entirely.
She was a college student who got like a $500,000 book deal from Bird or like some crazy publisher.
From a publisher. Bird was her book agent.
And she, based on her misadventures in New York and Cambridge and like just all
and her love triangles.
She's just this.
Which she documented on her Instagram, which had a big following. And she would put photos and then write these long captions. She was one of the first people who did like storytelling via Instagram captions. And she gained a very kind of popular and viral audience through doing that. And then got this book deal that then she famously couldn't deliver the manuscript on. And then her publishers said, you need to pay back some of this. She's like currently negotiating that with them. And then she disappeared from like life for like a year.
Yeah.
But she resurfaced this year when she had her like scam, like which people likened to Firefest. It was entertaining, but it was not at the same level of like Firefest.
She was basically hawking these like seminars at her amazing West Village apartment that has plants everywhere, and she would just have her fans, who are mostly women, come to her
and pay money to like hang out with her and do a creativity workshop.
$165 a head,
which like if that's your jam, by all means, hail payment and go.
So you go and you get a cooked salad,
which
I still don't know, but it's basically she would give you like a gift mason jar full of salad and like dressing and like flowers that she picked for you. And then she would give you she would like talk to you for like 8 hours about like how to be an influencer and how to write online and like market yourself and like all this stuff.
Which, to her credit, she's really been great at marketing herself online.
Yeah.
She's killing it. Maintains like a huge following.
She's almost a million followers.
And her content output now, like I started following her because I never followed her because Bird was my book agent when I found out about her. So he had told me about her because I was doing this account called Cosmo Sex Tips, which is still out there if anyone wants to follow it.
I'll follow it.
It's private because it kept getting reported, but it's one of my best works to date.
It.
Yeah. So I would write these like big, long, like sex tips with
funny.
Chill stock image, but it was like, anyways, follow it and you'll see for yourself. Yeah. But I was wanting to maybe turn it into a book or something. And so I was talking to Bird and he's like, oh, my other client is doing that. And she has this huge following. And I went to her profile and I was like, damn, she's a babe. Like, this is insane. But like, it got her where she is today, which is kind of TBD, but like she's resurfaced and
she gets labeled a scammer. New York media like goes after her. They're like writing all these pieces come out about it. Like she's suddenly now and like she's becomes like a viral like car crash kind of thing where everyone's like flocking to her page to look at.
Watch her like self-destruct or whatever.
She posts these insanely long Instagram stories and she's these huge novel, like, you know, texts, and like she's just, it's incessant. And she then she kind of leaned into her scammer thing, like her label of like quote unquote being a scammer, which I thought was kind of smart.
This was and that's when I, because like I kind of was hate following when all the scammer stuff came out, and then I'd check in every once in a while, and then I really like when she resurfaced and was like, she made this whole thing about like, I'm going to post X amount of times a day, and I really want to get this back up and running, because she like didn't post on social media for a long time. And then I was kind of, then she reappropriated like the scammer thing. And then I was like, you're punk. Like, I like what you're doing here. I'm into this narrative for you. You're like taking back this like negative label and like making it work in your favor. And also I just related to like the anxiety about posting on social media, because had that too. So I was like, wait, I like fully stan Caroline, my messy queen.
She's totally transparent about her messiness. She has like anxiety disorders. I think she has depression that she talks about. Like, I think she's on.
And that's kind of like what made her, what got her her audience in the first place, was like these long kind of writing things about her life, whether or not they were 100% true or accurate. That's like how she gained her audience. So like she was doing what she had set out to do, but kind of like rejuvenated it and like rose from a phoenix of in that, like a phoenix from the ashes. So and I appreciated
she,
that.
Yeah. And she's just like, she kind of just has this like prime of Miss Jean Brody, like, just like on a bike, like being whisked away by like some man that she met who's also a prince. And like, she's always just like falling into situations, and she's always late. And like, that's the,
the vibe you got. She's late with like long hair, like wearing a dress, like with tons of flowers in her hair that are like falling out.
Like a Marc Jacobs dress, just like being like, oh, I'm late. You know, and she's really beautiful. And like,
she's just like a beautiful
mess,
privileged mess.
And she went to boarding school. So anyway, all that's the backstory. But so she hinted last week that she posted about it.
Yeah.
That her former best friend, this girl, Natalie, who she just kept, she only referred to her as Natalie, was coming out with this piece on The Cut, on New York Mag, The Cut, about her fallout with Caroline, and that revealing that she actually ghost wrote all of Caroline's
Instagram captions and like ghost wrote a solid portion of her memoir and book proposal that she had sold.
Yeah.
And so Caroline goes off the deep end, and for like the last week has not stopped posting about Natalie.
She's obsessed.
She's obsessed with the piece, and she's obsessed with like, what is Natalie going to say? And it's like her whole social media became like about Natalie. And she's posting pictures of her weeping, crying.
Close up
of her face. Stained. Tears, like post sobbing with just the words, I love her. About Natalie.
And then she posts, laying on the floor crying, thinking about how much I love her. And then she'll post like emails, like past emails she sent Natalie, and like things Natalie edited. And then like, we'll just, in the corner, you see she superimposed her crying face onto the transcript that she's screenshotting. And like, just,
she posted a time-lapse video of her making, she's now into like making art and selling it. So that's how she's like supplemented her income when she's not doing whatever else. And she posted a time-lapse video of her like making her art while she was sobbing.
Yeah.
Just sitting on the floor, like cutting out papers, being like,
hours. It's like when Lindsay Lohan filmed herself crying on her Oprah show.
Yeah. Like,
and she also has like she's like kind of like Sonia Morgan. She has like a rotating door of like assistants. So she's always filming. And apparently people have been posting like they've bought art from her that she has to make for them, and then she doesn't come through with the art. And then like they try to like message her about it, and then she blocks them.
Yeah, she has a hard time getting to the post office. So she recently hired some like interns or assistants that are paid to like take things to the post office, which I relate. Like, going to the post office sucks ass.
It does, but also she's...
But also she's just a messy... She is a messy queen, and I truly, at this point, have no choice but to stan.
I have no choice but to stan either.
Everything that she does, she gives me no actual choice but to stan. That's
you
just
said,
like...
We were texting last night, and you said radical messiness.
Radical messiness.
And it's like, you would think she looks like the traditional influencer, like... on a superficial level, but she's actually like the anti-influencer.
Yeah.
But still is super influential and like still she's so everything. Relevant.
She's like the culmination of the worst parts of influencer culture and what they can do to your mental health exploding in a way that feels very authentic.
Oh, it's so authentic. And she's like kind of fearlessly going about it, being like, I'm like, she's literally posting pictures of herself crying on the floor of her apartment.
Yeah. And this is like her unique process. To what end? I don't know.
Yeah. It feels like we're building to something.
Yeah. Like I feel like eventually one day, I hope that one day she does write a book and like talk about this. I think she is a really good writer and like an interesting person. She really gets a rise out of people, so she knows how to strike a nerve, she knows how to build up an audience,
she knows how to troll.
And I like that she will like call people out. Yeah. Especially that like Vice reporter that like,
oh, faked. Kaylee.
Yeah.
And she made shirts that said like, stop hating on me, Kaylee, or something. Yeah,
stop hate following me. Like, yeah, I'm into Caroline Calloway's like trolls.
Yeah.
And I'm also into her like weeping, crying in a time lapse video. Well,
it's also interesting because she talks a lot about like other women in media like covering
She'll
for her.
She'll call them out and
like
be
being
like there was one that she was like some exchange she had with another writer who commented like a snarky thing on one of her things, and then she messaged that person and was like, I didn't understand your tone. Were you like making fun of me or was that? And then the person was like, blocked her. Then messaged again, and Caroline was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I guess they had some like words back and forth, but then Caroline came back and she was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, sorry for putting you on blast. And like, if you're ever around in New York, like, I'd love to have you over some night. We could eat salads and just like talk and like maybe like be friends. I don't know, but like, I would love to get to know you better. And then this girl like blocked her and kept talking shit about her. So then Caroline posted their entire exchange. And I was like, honestly, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's I think there is an element that's like very attention seeking, mm-hmm, for sure. But there's also an element that's like,
I'm in this position. So
I refuse to be like fucked with by all these people that all they want to do is like fuck with her and like shut her up. And I think that it's cool that she will not be silenced.
And yeah,
no one will silence her.
No. And I love I've always wanted to be like, hey, I don't really understand your tone right now because it's digital, so I can't always read nuance. Like, are you fucking with me right now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is something to that because I feel like I've, like, tried to do that before or been, like, I've been trolled before and, yeah, like, I've immediately messaged them and been, like, what's going... And, like, that makes me, like...
Well, people are very quick to label someone as, like, crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that she gets a lot more hate than, like, a man would get if he was...
For sure.
If he was doing what she was doing.
And it's like when Kanye tweets and everyone's like, he's just a genius. Or, like, yeah, before, like, last year and everything. But, like, in the past when he would tweet at, like, 2 a.m. and everyone would be like, Kanye's doing a rant, everyone.
Yeah, and it's like... Maybe she does have mental health issues. I mean, she is transparent about that. She's not trying to hide it.
But
this article was
so finally comes out today, and Natalie is this girl, this woman, Natalie Beach. Mm-hmm. She's a writer in New York, and she's or in LA, sorry, and she wrote this long, pretty, I think, well written,
yeah,
piece in The Cut, and it was way more. It was different than I thought it would be because it was actually more about Natalie's experience being, it wasn't like, you thought it was going to be like this salacious, like, she did this to me, she did that, and it really
like
was.
Tell-all.
And it was actually like, despite everything, because she was talking about a lot of shit that Caroline,
yeah, it was
an
essay about their friendship.
And it was really about friendship, I think, and I think she really, even at the end of it, clearly was like, I tender about Caroline in a way, and like, kind of still a little reverent of her.
Yeah.
And so basically it's like Natalie was this friend, they were at NYU together, they met in a writing class, and Caroline just kind of like,
she felt very seduced by Caroline, they became very good friends, and then they embarked on like a very intense roller coaster of a female friendship in their 20s.
And Caroline was like kind of she clues in like moments where in the very beginning that she looks back on and she was like, oh, I think she was lying to me about that. And like Caroline was kind of adopting Natalie, I think arguably is like a better writer than Caroline, and or at least has more raw, like,
whole. I think they're both good. Like, it makes sense to me how they found each other and like worked well together.
But I don't think Caroline, it sounds like, at least from the Natalie post, it felt like Caroline didn't have enough faith in her own ability as a writer. So she, and Natalie, Caroline was more like gregarious and outgoing in person and more like charismatic and like drew people in and like guys loved her. And Natalie always felt like kind of like the friend in the corner, like watching her just have go through life with ease. But I think Caroline actually was enviable of Natalie's ability to write, or what she thought Natalie had over her in terms of like writing and being more, you know what I mean? So it was like they both fed each other in this weird toxic cycle of like they both kind of coveted things about the other, and they were completely codependent.
Very codependent. I feel like they both weren't confident enough in their individual voices. And that's like probably what led to them working together.
They merged as like, it was like, when I was reading it, I was like, they're going to sell this. It's going to be like a movie or a TV show.
It should be a movie.
Yeah.
It'd be a great movie.
But so basically she like goes, Caroline's like, we need to write this book proposal. I need you to help me with this. Caroline didn't talk to her for like a while. And then she suddenly, when she needed her again, was like, I need you to do this.
Yeah.
So Natalie went running back to her and they like just did a bunch of Adderall and like stayed up for like 3 days writing this book proposal together. And then Caroline, like in the middle of like an Adderall mania, like told her like, I want you to be my editor or something.
Yeah, they like basically
came to a deal that if they sold the book high as fuck,
that like Natalie would get 35% of the book deal.
Yeah.
And then sold the book proposal. Then we all know how like Caroline couldn't deliver her side of it.
Caroline left NYU, started just all over again at Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then Natalie went over to Cambridge and like her life was just, according to Natalie, her life was
just like taking care of Caroline.
Yeah. I mean, you should read the piece, but it's
interesting, but it also leaves out like, it leaves out some details when it comes to like finances, like how this all was being financed. I assume that it was probably from like advance money or something like that.
And Caroline sounds like her family had money.
So like she paid for a lot of stuff.
But there's this part where Caroline's like, the gold is low in the world and my family's taking a hard hit. Natalie was like, okay. So like she had a little bit Anna Delvey, like in terms of like maybe exaggerating some things about like her family.
Yeah.
But I think she just came from money.
Mm-hmm.
So she was able to fly Natalie back and forth.
Yeah.
To Europe. But I mean, it's really a babe.
It's a true babe. It's also like, I was kind of talking about this on this week's episode of Babe, but like fine to talk about it again. Cause I think that like, the concept of having like friendship fallouts is something that people don't talk about that much.
Yeah. It's
because it feels really shameful. Like there's something about like, you can talk to your friends about like breakups and like the drama of those relationships. But then somehow when you have drama and friendships, it starts to feel like, oh my God, like what's wrong with me if I like can't keep a friendship going, or like I've been friends with this person for so long and it's like falling apart, like something's wrong with me that this is happening.
Especially if it's some kind of collaborative thing you're both doing.
Especially meeting someone at a time when you're both like really young and like naive, especially if you meet people when you're like on a ton of drugs and like sometimes you get sober, like you changed your lifestyle and it's like your lifestyles don't mesh anymore.
Yeah, well, that's like the one thing that I'm a little like place of Nunca with Caroline is she talks a lot about sobriety in her posts, and she's apparently like kicked her Adderall habit, which is great. But like she always says like my recovery and my sobriety, and like she kind of, but I don't think she's sober. from what she's like, she's talked about like drinking and like partying still.
Yeah.
So it's like she uses that a little loosely, and like there's a little bit of a veneer of like, well, I'm actually, you can't, you know, I'm sober now. So, and she, in her post today, she was like, anything I did during that time, I was on Adderall and I couldn't control it. So sorry.
Yeah.
And my whole thing was like,
it's a bit of a cop out.
It is. And it's like, you know, as someone in recovery, like I was a little triggered by it, because I was like, okay, like I did a bunch of shit that I'm not proud of when I was on drugs and drinking, but like I own up to it. And like, that's part of like, I mean, she might not be in like a program of recovery, so that's fine. But like,
yeah,
just don't use those. I don't know. Maybe it's just, I'm just affected by it personally, but like, I'm like, I see it a lot on social media. These people who are like, oh, I'm sober. And it's like, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. You know, or like, you're just, it's almost like it's like the cool thing to do now, or like say like, oh, I'm sober now. And it's like,
or you're like not drinking anymore, but you like smoke weed or like something.
Do coke.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's like the term sobriety is, I think, a little, I mean, just in my opinion, and I'll, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, yeah. I'm going to go out and say it, that I think the term sobriety, like the umbrella of sobriety, has been like completely a little distorted because of social media. And I think it does bring a lot of attention, and like people get, I think, I don't know. Maybe I'm digging myself into a hole, but
no, I don't think so. I think
like, I remember one time a guy who was this like insta-gay wrote this like long, like opinion, like a Medium type thing about like his dry January and how his sobriety. And I was like, you're just dry from, like, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, don't
you
say...
You took a break from drinking.
And it's, I don't, it's like...
Maybe there needs to be, like, a term for that's not... Because, like, it's like you and other people in, like, programs define sobriety as, like, you are not partaking in any drugs or alcohol whatsoever. It's a lifestyle that you lead.
Exactly. And it's also, like, going inward and, like, accountability and like, but it, you know, it doesn't work for everyone. Like, people stay sober without a proper recovery. So I'm not like, as long as you're doing what you need to do, like, I'm not here to judge anyone, but I do think people like Caroline have sort of like taken that term and like used it in a way that like, as like an armor against, like, it's a little bit, like you said, like a bit of a cop out. Like,
yeah,
you can't say I did anything bad because I was, you know, and I'm sober. And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, we get it.
Am I being jumbled?
No, I don't think you're being jumbled. I see it from your perspective, like, completely, because I know you and I know, like, your story and your history with it. So I understand, like, why if someone else is like, oh, I'm sober now, or like, I had a problem with like this drug, but then I stopped doing it. And like, now
great.
I do whatever. Like, there's... I guess there just needs to be like shades of sobriety, or like,
exactly,
it wouldn't be so triggering if it wasn't being used as like
cachet.
Yeah. Cachet. And then also just being like, well, that was then and this is now. And like, who knows? But then I also see from her perspective of being like, if like, I can't imagine if I got news that someone was going to write like a tell-all
That's
article
true.
About
I've
me.
I've never been in her position.
Like, I don't even know. I would actually like implode.
No, I know. And I'm not, look.
And
I'm,
I think what's interesting is that there are some people that like implode and like, I'm like a very much like a retreater. Like, I would like slowly cave out until I go full de neuve, but like,
full repulsion.
Yeah. Like eating a rabbit, just being like, who's calling? Like, but people like her like explode. And so they just like barf everything out onto like the world. And I'm kind of jealous of that coping mechanism.
No, I agree.
But I don't think that it's like, it's a coping mechanism. Like, it's not, I feel like she'll probably look back on this and be like, this was wrong of me, or like have some sort of reflection, which is the interesting thing about her as a figure, is like, we are watching her make mistakes in real time. And like, it's like, it's, she's doing something that's like a Truman Show type of thing.
It is. And again, I'm not like, if I think it's when someone like takes a break from drinking, and like, I think it's all great. I'm not saying like you can't do that. And like, I'm not like, when someone is like, yeah, I just took like a month, I'm like, that's, I think that's great. And like, if you do that like once in a while, or like you even it out, like, I'm all for that. I'm not saying sobriety has to be done anyway. It's just what works for me, because mm-hmm. I can't do it without this. But I'm just saying, some people, especially, I'm talking mostly about like social media people who are like social, like they've kind of appropriated it in a weird way. That's like,
it's like, it seems like a hot thing now to do.
Yeah.
It's kind of trendy. Uh-huh. Multiple like celebrities have announced that they're like sober.
And that's great.
A lot of like reality stars have been like, I'm sober now. Like,
and it's great. And if you're getting people to think about their own stuff and like, you know, I think it's anyone who's talking about it. I have Caroline talking about Adderall. Like, that's great. Cause that that needs to be talked about. Cause it's like a lot of people have struggled with it. Mm-hmm. And like, I've had blue nostrils from doing hot steaming rails of Adderall, you know, like from a party where I couldn't get Coke. And I was like, I'll just do someone's Adderall. Like, I've done it. Like, you can abuse it, like, for sure. So I think it's great to talk about. I don't know.
Awareness in the conversation is like an important part.
And that's not even like the main, but it's prominently discussed in this piece. But
yeah.
But I also, my favorite part about this is that Kat Marnell has been like clued. Kat Marnell,
she's like, weighing in, she's following, and like, I feel like along for the ride.
Kat Marnell like only last week started. I think she like didn't think, she wasn't aware of it because she's like does her own thing. But mm-hmm. I think from what I've seen of her on Twitter, she's like being really like, not like, but like almost like, I've been through, like I know what I feel this girl.
Yeah,
like, she's like. Because Kat has done a lot of work on herself, it seems like, and like she's been through a lot. So it's just been funny to see her talk about Caroline.
Yeah. How do you feel about people like speculating on whether or not she's like still on Adderall or like fucked up?
Yeah. I mean, I've wondered about it, and I've talked to people about it, but like, I guess like.
But like openly, like online, being like.
I don't know. I mean, if someone's struggling with like any kind of addiction, like I think I can't imagine what it's like to have people like openly be like discussing like whether or not you're relapsed or like you're still like bottoming out and stuff. Like, that must be really hard. And like, you know, like people, like celebrities, like
it's a weird line, because I've literally sat on this podcast being like, well, Lindsay's back on drugs.
Same.
Again, and like, to me, that feels funny, but for some reason, I just have like a soft spot for this fucking girl that I don't even know. I just follow her.
Same.
And like, I feel protective of her, and like, I can't, and I feel that most of her followers must feel that way, which is why she has like a big following.
Well, she bought a lot of them, apparently.
Yeah.
But
at the start, anything you say, I will literally.
I know. I love it.
There's nothing. And I'm like, I'm curious about my own like fascination with her.
No, but I have the same, I kind of have the same, like I've been tweeting about it. Like, I try to like, not, I haven't really tweeted about like, oh, she must be on drugs, and like, because I feel like that sometimes is like an easy jab at someone, like, oh, they're on drugs again or something. So
and I've been following pretty closely. Yeah. Like,
I've mostly been just like, because I was almost thinking, like I said to you, I feel like Natalie, in quotes, before this piece came out, I was like, maybe Natalie isn't even real.
Yeah,
maybe
Natalie's a figment of her imagination.
No, I was like, maybe Natalie is like some metaphor for like. I felt like Natalie almost became, now I'm like, please 5150 me, but I was like, Natalie, you can almost look at as like our collective fear of all being canceled. Like, it's like this, because like for a week it's been like this creeping, the countdown. Caroline would post in the morning, God, guys, where is the post? Like, she's like,
well, I Googled it, and if it gets moved to print, the post will be, and it's like, she's
guys,
really
where
obsessed.
Is the post? But it's like, she's kind of, it's like her internal monologue is like what all of our internal monologues would be like. Just wait, the clock is ticking. You know you're about to be
or wait
found
till
out.
They find out what I've done. Wait till like everyone gets mad at me, and then like suddenly my life changes forever.
But that's all of us. Like, I feel like we're all sort of in a weird way on social media, waiting to be found out. Even if none of us have done anything like that bad, like. Everyone sort of has this, I think most of us have like an imposter syndrome thing on social media, I mean, maybe
we're all
waiting for the other shoe to drop. We're all waiting for that. Like, we all sort of have this weird dread now of like,
oh, a total dread.
Anything could come back. Like, you know, oh my God, is that going to haunt me later? Or like stuff like that, like something I said, or like, you know, going back and looking at tweets being like, ooh, and like, or just in general, just like, even if you didn't do anything, like Natalie is sort of like
the ghost of your past that like haunts you, or just like what, not even that. It's like,
you know,
your fear of being exposed
and annihilated,
as your worst possible self, and like everyone seeing it and annihilating you and you being like dead.
But it's also what I think social media at its root right now, at least, is like heading towards, is like Natalie is like a woman living her life,
yeah,
in Los Angeles.
But we say it with quotes.
I'm like, saying Natalie like with quotes, but like Natalie, like, or like the fear of being found. It's like social media has gotten to a point where we're all just waiting for like annihilation almost.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we're all in the shimmer right now in annihilation, like going farther and farther in, and like we're all doing it together, and like it's going to destroy us. And like Caroline is sort of like the conductor. She's like leading the charge. She's like, we're all going down, you know? And it's almost like Caroline, in a weird way, it's like almost nihilistic.
Yeah.
Because she's just like, I don't know. Do you know? Maybe I'm thinking about it too dark, but
you're thinking about it in a really cool way.
Like, we're all, I feel like every day I'm on social media, like I love tweeting, I'm like addicted to it, like I'll never stop tweeting, but like it's hell sometimes, and Instagram is hell, and like we've talked about it before, but like in a weird way social media is like our doom, and like Natalie for Caroline is her doom personified, and or what she perceives as doom, and like she's gonna be famous still.
Yeah,
it's not going to stop her from doing what she's doing. But in a way, it's like...
But it's like that fear of... I think it's... For me, I feel like people really want to stop her from being herself.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you... But it's... Nothing you say or do is going to, like, stop it. And I feel like that's almost her fear with this, like, Natalie thing. Is it somehow, like... And I think... Anybody's fear with like your ex-friend writing about you would be like, okay, this is gonna bring up a lot of shit about myself that I have to confront,
yeah,
and then we'll have to change. Like, I will change whether I like it or not. My life will be different from the moment that this comes out.
Yeah.
Because people will know things about me that like I didn't want them to know, or I'll have to relive this part of my life.
Yeah. And even if those things aren't exactly true, like we don't know everything, but gonna change people's perceptive of you.
And it's perception gonna of change you. Your perception of yourself to it's some true. Extent. And so it's like, I'm gonna have to like undergo this like taking stock of my life and how I view myself and how I conduct my day to day. And like, maybe I'm not ready to do that, or maybe I just don't want to right now, but I'm being confronted with it. And that's like constantly, I think that's like happening to everyone on some sort of scale, but
everyone has a reckoning.
Yeah. But when you're like, when you're not the one that gets to be in control of that reckoning, it feels very chaotic and very nihilistic and very like, what's the point? And it's out of your hands and scary, especially when it's like in cancel culture, when all it takes is like
one tweet
or two or three angry people to start kind of like talking about something they don't like about you.
Yeah.
And then like a bandwagon forming. And then all of a sudden it's like, you're this monstrous person.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
No, it's, I mean,
with people that don't even know you. And I used to be like, I used to be super reactive and like.
Same. It gets the best of me. Part of me sometimes.
But I don't believe in that anymore. Like,
I don't
believe in like being reactive in that way. And like, I am fine to like talk about pop culture, and like, I love to make fun of people, and like, there's definitely a fine line, and I really toe that.
But you're really honest about yourself. And like, I'm not just like on your podcast, like kissing your ass right now, but like I think you tread the line of like, you poke fun at the absurdity of like personas that are being foisted on us every day.
And but, like, I get you, it. Like, I get
but
what's
but
insane.
You make fun of yourself too. And you talk about like your own vulnerabilities and like your shortcomings. Like, and I think that's like, that is great. And I think that like, you know, on a personal level, like I've been like, I worked on a show that got like heavy outrage before it even came out. And yeah, like, that was my, like, in a weird way, like, I get the Natalie thing. And like, you know, everyone is allowed to have an opinion on stuff. And like, art is like meant to be criticized. And like, I get it. But like, people were in droves, like people, some people that I even knew were like saying, lumping me in, and like people that I worked with who I really cared about and knew it personally, that we were like, I was being told I was really terrible things about myself.
Yeah.
Like, I was being, you know what I mean? And like, I kind of, I've not, an, I'm not saying this is in any way like what Caroline is probably going through, but like,
I, yeah, this is like now a separate conversation about just like our experiences.
Yeah.
But like, no,
no, but I get, yeah, where, but like, I've seen, and I think since then, like, it's sort of like, I don't know. And I'm not saying like everyone was wrong for, like, you're allowed to have your opinion, but I think some of the stuff that was being like, that I was seeing said about like something that I was part of and like worked on and like how it defined me as a person, I was like, it drove me crazy for it really affected me.
And yeah,
like, and social media is like,
and the scariest part of it, I think,
no, as, I'm sorry, like, I didn't mean to like bring like,
no,
the Heather's thing into it, but like, the Heather's of it all.
I think it's good. It's all par for the course. But like, the scariest thing about it as a creator is like when you realize that that could actually really affect your career and like your, yeah, job and your money at the end of the day. When that's where it gets like.
But at the end of the day, the good that came out of it was that at the end of the day, like, and in some way relating back to Caroline, is like, as long as you believe in what you did and you know that you went into it with integrity and that, and with the best intentions, mm-hmm, like at the end of the day, I was like, I know what I wrote. I know what we all wrote together. These people are wonderful people. You know, the people that were in charge had a good intentions. They had like a clear vision. I trust them. If you just trust it and like, you can ride through it and just get through the other side. And as long as you've, I mean, if you've done something like,
you know, I mean, if you're like,
yeah,
a KKK member.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm talking more about like,
yeah,
more like in media. Mm-hmm. So like that kind of stuff. But yeah, it can really fuck up your psyche and,
yeah,
everything. But I'm still like, I'm so proud I was part of that. And like,
yeah, totally.
I don't regret being like, I think it was amazing and I love it. So, mm-hmm, but fuck the haters. But like, yeah, but I know, but like seeing just mass droves of people like
tweeting ready about like your person shit on someone and like destroy them, or yeah, trying to get people on a bandwagon to like, just, it's just, it feels very counterproductive and scary.
It is, but I mean, it's, but again, this is part of like what I was talking about, like with like social media, and then we'll talk about the ghouls, but yeah. They're a precursor to all this, but
and it's like their female friendships in a lot of ways like mirror this, which is especially clear in like this particular episode.
But I just for
in conclusion,
I think that this cancel culture thing is like sort of, I'm hoping, I feel like it is reaching, I feel like there is, I've been seeing more and more that there is like a reaction against it. Like, I feel like people are sort of like
understanding,
feeling more empowered to like come forth and be like, I mean, some people deserve to have to be taken out of the equation, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
I think if you are inciting violence against someone else, you are
for sure
canceled, and in my book.
But I'm talking about like more like things that are like, maybe I'm digging, now I'm gonna dig myself in a hole, but
no,
don't. I just feel like this, there's no nuance anymore in a lot of things that are being talked about, and like things are either good or bad, and it's like imploding. We're all just like heading towards like some kind of
total oblivion,
and Caroline is sort of riding that wave right now, and we're watching it, and
at least it's fucking entertaining.
It is. at least
it gives
it's
me
fucking riveting.
At least it gives people gives an opinion thrill and some way to feel. At least it stirs up some fucking emotion,
yeah,
and starts a conversation.
And it also like
I don't see how she's hurting anyone.
No.
I don't see how she's like negatively impacting the greater culture at large with her Instagram.
But one of America's and the world's favorite pastimes is watching a woman like fall apart.
Yeah.
I think. Like,
and we've like done it.
Lindsay Lohan,
like,
Britney, like Judy Garland, like, and throughout like modern
history.
Yeah.
If a woman was in the White House acting how Donald Trump is acting, she would have been like burned at the stake or impeached already. Like the thing, like I just don't. And please, someone, like, I feel free to write into sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com. And, like, if you really think that Caroline Calloway is one of our nation's biggest problems right now, please tell me why. Because I truly don't understand, like, that argument.
No, and what Caroline is doing, and I think is good, is that she is someone that's, like, there's a lot that you can disagree with her on. But it's like, at least this conversation is, like, we're not just, like, we see... We understand some parts of her. Like, we're on, you know what I mean? It's like she's, it's a situation where it's not all clear. And I think that's good. And I think it's, there needs to be more room for nuance. And like, in these specific situations, a person, she is not just inherently bad.
Yeah.
She's like, she's flawed and she, like,
she's
all of
done
us.
Like,
we've all done shitty things. Yeah. Like, we've all been messes. So it's not, at least it's like getting us to talk about like, people are complicated and like, yeah, they're not,
and
just...
like, talk about your own messy life and like your life experiences. Like, I feel like everyone has a story to tell.
Everyone has a tale.
Everyone has like ups and downs. We've all made like huge mistakes and like less huge mistakes, but like,
and if you haven't made a mistake, please write in to the podcast.
Yeah,
and
write
and
in
to
sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com and please outline how perfect your life has been, because I would love to hear about that.
I would love to hear
Genuinely,
about it.
I would love to hear about a person that's never made one mistake in their entire life.
I would alert like Guinness Book or like the Smithsonian and have that email preserved in the, you know, archives of like,
get
culturally
the Met.
Aesthetic. The Met.
The Met Gala. Yeah. The No Mistakes is next year's theme of the Met
the
Gala.
The Gala.
Perfect. Perfect at the Gala.
Perfect at the Met. Perfect at the Smithsonian. Perfect at the National Gallery in London. Like, any, you know, let's get this going. Let's get a conversation going. If you're perfect, we want to see.
Please. We're all really messy at the end of the day. Life is a mess.
Life is a literal
shithole of a mess. And sometimes you can shower it off of yourself and put some lotion on and like cuddle up and be a little bit clean for once. But most of the time, life is just covered in shit.
As Clea DuVall said, and she's all that, Splatter Girl. I am Splatter. Like, we're all Splatter Girl.
Oh my God.
Splatter Girl? Remember?
We're all Splatter
Girl. To Rachel Lee Cook?
Yeah.
We're all that, like, life is a big splatter girl slash boy.
Life is a huge splatter boy.
Girl slash boy. Speaking
slash
of girls.
X.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique. As we literally start the ghouls section of this episode, there were just...
Literally, helicopter landed on the roof of my building.
It was like the beginning of Terminator 2, which, so excited for Terminator Dark Fate.
Oh my god.
Mackenzie Davis and Linda Hamilton, just said, the dom tops we all need.
Previously, I said to you today, I was like, I'm about to just take like 5 Ambien and you can slap me awake when the Natalie article comes out. But now that the Natalie article's out, I'm literally about to take... I'll another Ambien and just slap me
I'll
when
shake you awake when Dark Fate is out.
Don't you? Yeah, like I need you to put me on a stretcher, wheel me into the theater, prop me up, and then don't wake me up. Actually, wake me up for the previews because I like those. But slap me as hard as you can and
go, wake up!
Ow! Where am I? And you're like, you're in Terminator Dark Fate, and I'm like, hell yeah,
tight. No, but there was literally like, I'm used to helicopters obviously since living here, but there was literally a drone just like outside your fucking apartment.
Like a FBI man came down on like a ladder outside the door and peered in.
It was above, it was literally above your, it was going, it was not even like, the normal, it was
sometimes they get so close that I literally think that a bomb is about to be dropped on me.
I feel the
walls shake and I'll be like at my little desk set up writing and then suddenly it'll get closer and closer and I'm like, is this it? Is this the raid? Is happening?
We're all, our Natalie is like the raid that's coming. But
it's like Felicity Huffman in like the college scam raid where the FBI just like all broke into her house at once to arrest her.
Also, everyone needs to go watch the college admission scandal Lifetime movie coming out with Penelope Ann Miller and Mia Kirshner.
Oh my god, Mia from L Word to Lifetime to the other
and Black Dahlia and Penelope Ann Miller.
It's a real,
who played, I think it was on a Lifetime movie about Mary Kay Letourneau.
Love that
queen. But so anyway, speaking of
the ghouls,
the icons that we desperately need.
I love that this episode opened up with the flashback of Amy's iconic monologue. And I just wrote down, like, I need to reenact it now.
Do it.
Introduce me to a guy that's broke, who lives in a trailer park, that's cute, someone who's going to be a good man. Fucking Tennessee Williams could never.
I just need a good man in my life.
Someone who's going to be a good man.
Just someone who I can come home from work to, who's waiting for me at the end of the workday and says, baby, you're here.
Who loves me for me?
Who loves me for me and just me?
Good man.
Who packs my lunch for work in the morning and sends me on my way. I want a man that stays home. A good man who provides, not financially, but emotional nourishment. That's me.
That's a good man.
That's a good man.
She talks like Don Corleone in The Godfather.
She does.
She's literally ahead of her time.
I swear.
She's 48 spiritually.
I really believe she was in a time slip and she's from like 1957.
Yeah.
She's like an empowered woman in 1957. She's like.
Physicists should actually study her because there was like a wormhole that she slipped in through as a zygote and then was like born. Not of this world, which they did discover, like,
yeah,
wormholes recently.
Like, they did?
Physicists discovered, like, I don't even know, but it was some. I don't even
just
know.
Just a quick recommendation.
It's like molecules that like reform.
No, I'm going to research it.
And like some sort of time travel thing. Just Google it. I can't. This isn't a science podcast.
Everyone should watch the show Dark on Netflix. I've watched both seasons. It is so fucking good. It's a German show. It's all
I'm
subtitles.
I'm really curious about it.
But it's, you forget that you're what, like I, at the end of it, I was like, I speak German. Like, but it's so, I don't even want to, I don't want to spoil anything, but okay. There's some time stuff is in it. And it's about a German, a small German town. It's kind of like Twin Peaks. It's amazing. Shit goes down. Kids go missing. It's amazing. Anyway.
I decided after my 23andMe saga that I was going to do an Ancestry.com DNA test, which actually I think is cooler than 23andMe.
I need to do 23andMe.
So they're going to look into my... I'm going to find out all about my German heritage.
Love
I
it.
Hope that there's no Dale in the library.
I'm going to go to the library to
investigate. I'm Dale in the library myself. Anyways.
What a history. So it starts out with Carrie's mom comes to her place to set up for her housewarming party at her West Village apartment that she can somehow afford.
Yeah, she's really excited to show the world her West Village apartment, which I would be too if I were her.
Which I love that her mom, she's like, you know what? You work so hard, like, I'll come set up your party with you. Like, that's a real mom coming in from the Long Island Expressway.
Real mom hours. They're just, like, folding clothes and,
she's
like,
she's a stain in her hoodie, and her mom's like, you look like garbage.
And she's like, a silly mom and daughter moment. And you're like, moving along.
And then we cut to a bottle of champagne popping in Murray Hill. And it's Maggie's gay friend, Chris, is opening
a bottle of champagne in honor of her birthday.
That's like a few days away.
Yeah.
She's like
every day, every year on my birthday,
my friends pop champagne. It's like, cool. Same. Like everyone.
Yeah. Like that's what people do for their birthday. Like they celebrate it.
Her friends seem really cool.
He did seem cool.
Yeah.
I love that she tells him. It's also, there were a lot of moments in this episode that seemed like they had to be filmed. Like they were like sat down to film a scene.
Yeah.
This was one of them where she like tells Chris that she's going to go bowling, and he goes, oh, that's so trashy.
I know.
And I loved that.
And she's like, it's not.
And she knows that it is.
Yeah.
She knows that she would not choose this life for herself if she was left to her own devices, which she admits later in the episode.
Yeah.
Maggie's stuck in a dark, from one dark relationship to the next.
But Chris is not a dark relationship.
No, he's a sweetie, and he's there with champagne when you need him the most.
No, Chris was cool. He had cool glasses. They were just seemed like they were actually friends, and it made me think Maggie actually has like a whole like life beyond this. That's
fulfilling. There's some hope for her yet.
Yeah, and
because
like she
Chris.
she seemed more, seeing her with her actual friends made me like appreciate her more, because like he brought out like I think the real side of her, which was like just like a normal like funny.
Yeah. That's so true, because she's not like, it's someone that's not just like whispering all the time.
Yeah, it felt like it was like, I was like, okay, this is Maggie. Maggie's like, I probably would be friends with Maggie.
Yeah, and we've only seen her in the context of her psychotic internship with Eli or in her like unclear relationship with Ryan.
Yeah.
So
Ryan plays a big part in this episode.
Ryan's huge in this episode, physically and spiritually.
So speaking of harrowing, sorry, we cut to Angela, who's doing a rogue guerrilla style photo shoot in Chinatown, where she's just accosting people in the street and being like, without words, she's just going up to people with her giant camera and just photographing them.
I love, she's like, well, I have a show coming up, so I better make some art for it. So she's like, Caroline Calloway.
She is.
And she's like taking pictures of people next to a donut store.
Well, she first takes a photo of I think she just found this
modelly redhead.
This, like, ethereal looking redhead woman, and was like taking pictures of her on the stoop, and then like the woman just like walks away. Mm-hmm. And then she busts into a donut shop and just like
that donut shop's in Brooklyn.
I know.
It wasn't
in Chinatown. I think it was in Williamsburg.
Yeah, I've been there like one of the last times I was in New York.
Really?
It's a delicious donut shop.
I've never been there.
It's a great donut store. If you have the chance, go check
it
out.
Bedford stop.
Yeah.
So she goes up to this old man and like
It's like she like gets in his. She looked like a haunted house.
She's terrorizing the elderly citizens.
She looked like a people.
The last remnants of Brooklyn, as we know it, before it got like truly gentrified, is just like old people being terrorized by Angela.
She's like someone in a haunted maze. When you're like walking, and then she just gets in your face.
That poor woman that I was standing outside with the donut in her hand. It's like, this is the best thing to happen in probably the last 5 years for this lady, that you're like making her like. Her
you're
donut,
like eating again.
And then now you're ruining her like one last good memory of life by asking her to like take a photo.
She goes up to a man who's just sitting inside minding his own business about it, and she like silently gets in his face with her camera, and then looks down at his, and the guy is just like, "What?" And no one said, like, it's silent in there. She just comes in without words and is like, "I have a camera crew. Like they'll know." Like.
Angela's a fucking hurricane with a camera.
She is. She's taking pictures of like chairs. Like it's just it's not.
It's a real mess.
So she
art
gets,
TBD.
And then we cut to
Carrie calls Maggie and invites her to the housewarming.
Maggie also texts on her iPad, which I loved.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
I love like a non-traditional text journey.
Carrie's like, I really want you to come to my party. And she's like, well, I'm supposed to hang out with my friend Liz. Can I bring her? And she's like, yeah, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
And Maggie's like, cool. And then you literally see her texting Liz.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a real...
It's a real glimpse, and also like their version of like a Real Housewives invitation moment.
Mm-hmm. And then Angela is still at the bakery, and she gets a call from Alex, her gay friend, mm-hmm. and he tells her that he has not landed the Norwood venue for her big, like, unclear
show.
Coming out ball kind
he
of
goes,
thing.
Norwood's not happening.
And Angela goes like, wow, I'm really upset with you. And Alex is like, no one, he goes, Angela, no one knows who you are.
Alex is keeping it real 24/7.
He's like, why are you mad at... She's like, I'm really upset with Alex.
He goes,
like,
you're an unknown photographer.
He's like, I'm doing my best. And she's like, this is unacceptable. She's like, this is your job. You're supposed to be doing this. Like, this is what you're supposed to be good at. And he's like, yeah, the point is I can't book things. They don't know who you are.
They don't know who you are. There's no budget. And then she goes, well, you're really disrupting my creative process.
And then he hangs up. Which I was like, good for him.
Yeah, set a boundary.
And she goes, wow, did he hang up with me? And she goes outside and she's like, I better get this figured out or I'm going to be working here at the bakery.
Real nice yeah. to all the people that like do work there.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Maggie and her boyfriend,
this
Ryan.
Was weird.
This was really weird. But I love it opens with her going, she
goes to the Palm.
The Palm restaurant, which is like
Bruce Bozzi's restaurant.
Is that his restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's chic.
Yeah, his family owns it, I think.
Oh, I didn't realize. I have a chip on my shoulder because some people I don't like have their painting at the Palm, and I don't appreciate that. So that really brought it down, but actually...
That's wild.
That's wild. It's wild and inappropriate.
Good for her.
Good for her. But I used to go to the Palm with my dad all the time.
Mm,
it's like a father-daughter outing.
Is there one in...
There's not one in Oklahoma, but we would go, like, he liked the Palm, so
when
if we were,
here.
if we were, like, traveling
That's
somewhere,
cute.
He would be, like...
So, memories.
It'd be our place.
You and Butch.
Maggie goes, would it be on crass of me to get a Diet Coke and wine?
And he's like, she's like, Italian people do that, and he's like, that's gross.
Yeah, which
and
is,
then,
like, okay.
So, they go to the Palm, and Maggie's, like, Maggie wants Ryan to dom her.
Yeah.
She's like, I want you to order the wine for me. And he's like, okay.
Maggie wants Ryan to be someone he's not. And by that someone, I mean Eli.
Yeah. She's like, I love it. She goes, he's a financial analyst. And he's different from any guy I've ever been with. And I'm like, so like a broker? Like you've only, I feel like she.
Yeah.
I mean, like maybe that's like I'm stereotyping her, but I'm like, I feel like. You live in Murray Hill.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like very unclear, but I'm very like I'm unclear on their relationship, but I'm very clear on the fact that like
he's not
it's
Eli.
Not gonna work out.
She goes, I want you to pick it. And he's like, what? And she's like, please. And he's like, fine, I'll pick the wine.
But the whole like their dynamic is her being like, I mean, I don't I know you like red wine, but like, I guess you can get that if you want. And he's like, okay. And she's like, no, don't.
Yeah.
Like, get the white wine. It'll hurt my veneer.
Yeah. And then, she's like constantly like contradicting herself with him.
Yeah. Like, it's like a playful, but he doesn't know how to take the bait in that way. Like, he that's not his love language or his flirt language. Like, so he's like, okay, like, what do you want? Like, he's literally like a dumb bro.
Yeah, he's like, wait, I don't understand what's happening.
They like understand like meat, penis, and like beer.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
And she's like, then he mentions that he wants to go skydiving on her birthday instead of bowling.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to do that. And he's like, why not?
Yeah, it's just like,
Break up. If someone wants to go skydiving on your birthday knowing that you have a fear of flying, like,
yeah, like, it's not meant to be. Then she's like, she really wanted a crumbs cupcake. Remember those cupcakes
that
were like monstrosities?
Yeah.
They're truly like, when she was talking about it, I was like, I want a crumbs cupcake. But like, I don't think they're even in existence anymore.
She's like, crumbs? You couldn't get crumbs? He's like, oh, you have to order it a week. She's like, I wanted a crumbs cupcake. And he's like, we had to order it a week ahead in time and I just didn't think to do it. And she's like, you can get a crumbs cupcake now. I want a crumbs cupcake. And he's like, I'm sorry, baby.
Yeah. So basically, Ryan's a disappointment in every sense of the word.
But then he gets her a huge piece of like Bruce Bogtrotter Matilda cake. It's like a fucking like
a fist of cake
the size of my car. And they set it and she goes, wow, I can't eat this. And they set it down and no one, it's so weird. They come with a candle and he goes, it's like they're whispering. And he goes, happy birthday, baby. And she goes, and they set it down on her and she goes, yay. And like usually in a restaurant the waiter will sing happy birthday and there's silence.
No fanfare,
dead silence, and she just goes, yay.
Their whole birthday dinner is spoken in a whisper,
yay. And he goes, happy birthday, baby.
And then she's like, cut me a piece. It's like that piece, no, the chocolate.
And he gives her a huge chunk and she goes, I can't eat this cake.
Their whole dynamic is like, I can like see the sex that they're having based off of this. And it's just like, no.
It's like an ASMR cake reception.
Yay. Happy birthday, baby.
Have you seen Running with Scissors?
Yeah.
Do you remember when they surprised the kid and everyone's a surprise? And then Annette Bening is like in her, like, she's in like a drug daze. Mm-hmm. And she looks up at him and she goes, surprise. That's what this reminded me of.
It is like that.
Thank you so much. Yay.
Cut that piece for me.
I don't want that cake. No. I can't eat that.
You didn't get me a crumbs cupcake.
I want a crumbs cupcake. My baby, I don't want to go skydiving.
Carrie just LARPed as just Maggie. He just LARPed, went to another dimension as Maggie.
That was I sounded like the Mothman. I'm sorry, everyone.
I love it.
Thank you. So that is a real, that was dark.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Chantal. Okay. Chantal is like, I support myself by modeling on the side. And End of Century is not raking in the cash, so I have to schedule a shoot with a Japanese magazine called Fudge Magazine.
She's modeling for Fudge Magazine.
She says, I'm really big in Japan.
Yeah.
Like, she literally
says, Japanese teens love me.
And she goes, a gig can pay anywhere between $50 and $5,000.
What a great modeling gig for $50.
I was like, what a range.
Also, $50 to $5,000. $50 is like what you get when you give a stranger a hand job. Like,
yeah, like, what? What was the, I want to know more about the $50.
I want to know what the $50 like modeling gig was.
It can, she basically was like,
you pop a tit for like a random street photographer and he gave you like 50, but like, I'm unclear on a $50 modeling gig.
But also, she basically was like, it can pay me anywhere from $0 to $5,000. So it's like,
which is like, okay, God, so can a lot of things.
So you see,
like,
her,
any job can pay you from $0 to
so you see her like getting shut. She goes to End of Century, raids the wardrobe, and like, wears all the clothes. And then just this guy's like following her around the Lower East Side, asking her things.
Mm-hmm. And she goes, "My coat is Tatiana Inglis," which I was like, "What is that?"
Also, I wrote, "She scammed Japan." Because they think she's big.
Yeah.
She's like, "It's funny how I'm more relevant in Japan than I am here."
That is lit funny.
She's like,
"Is she still big in Japan?"
I don't know. But then she goes, "I guess they like me there because I sort of look like an anime character." Which I was like, shut up, first of all.
Chantal.
She goes, I'm really small and I look like an anime character. And also, it's funny, my boyfriend has an Asian fetish. And... which I was like, what? They're saying these things? Like,
this Asian fetish has been a recurring motif in Gallery Girls.
She said that one time she went into her boyfriend's closet, found a box.
Found a safe. She said, "I found a safe," which is, if someone has a safe, like, I don't trust that kind of behavior. With a pipe and four Asian porn DVDs.
I was like, is he smoking crack?
What kind of pipe?
Is he freebasing?
I went into his safe and I found a pipe and four Asian porn DVDs.
I would want to watch an entire episode of Chantal trying to like crack a safe.
I bet she hailed payment for the code to the safe.
But like, what led her to check the safe? Was he out like getting milk? And she was like, "I'd really like to know what Spencer's hiding in his safe. So I've conjured Paimon, and together we're going to crack the code.
We'll turn it." It's like The Shining, where you just like know stuff all of a sudden, and then she like cracked the safe code.
Yeah, she received the divine, the black, like the power of like black magic.
Mm-hmm.
But a pipe? Was he talking about like a weed pipe?
I think it was a weed pipe. That's where my brain went.
Brain went to crack.
Why are you putting your weed pipe in the safe?
I don't know.
Like, what kind of pipe is it? Is it like a special pipe?
Spencer's hot.
Spencer's really hot.
I'm really into him.
Yeah.
The first few episodes, I didn't really notice him. And now,
he's like hot. And then he's kind of like prominent. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, Liz. Liz and Jane Holzer go to like an art fair. Tony's LaCroix toy.
Jane Holzer, Liz's dear friend Jane Holzer.
Friend of the family, Jane.
And Liz is like, "I really wanted Maggie to like," she didn't get a chance to meet, which I thought was nice. She's like, "She didn't really get a chance to talk to Jane. So I invited her with us to this art fair."
But now everyone's calling her Jane. Like, the familiarity with which they refer to Jane Holzer is really amusing to me. Because then it cuts to Maggie and she goes, "Well, yeah, anything with Jane is going to be really exciting." And it's just like, you're on a first name beat.
Yeah.
Like, this is weird.
So they go, and Jane's like real cheeky. She's like, someone says something like, "I would do..."
Maggie says, "I would do anything for that painting," or something.
And she goes, Atta girl. It's like...
Jane sucks some dick in her life.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She loves...
Some like Warholian dick in her... Mm-hmm. Not Andy, but like...
Yeah. More power to her.
Yeah.
But she's like one of the last people of that. It's like a miracle she's alive in a lot of ways. But like
the Chelsea Hotel days.
Yeah. And like, she's seen some shit and like is from a bygone era and like should be revered for that. And it's just like, it's such a stark difference, like her life versus the Gallery Girls.
Whenever you hear her walking down the street, you hear doom, 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 doom. "Hey, huh? Take a walk on the wild side." Also, what was I going to say? Do you think Gabby Hoffman knows Jane Holzer?
Definitely.
Yeah. Cause she grew up in the Chelsea Hotel.
Yeah. All know each other. Yeah. I love Gabby's life journey. I saw her at a house party once in LA. And
you did?
Beyond exciting.
Did you talk to her?
No.
Fuck no.
It was like another place of Nunca where it was like, it would not be appropriate. Sharon brings Carrie and Amy
to the same show,
and Amy is still in a place of deep confusion about Carrie's presence.
Yeah,
like, anywhere.
She's like, "Why is she still here?"
Like, Amy truly like doesn't understand.
Amy's like, "What's an internship?" She like doesn't. She's like,
"What's the purpose here, Sharon? I thought I was doing your bidding." Amy like just has this look on her face where she just is like not trusting anything.
No, she's always like,
she's just trying to figure out, but like
I think the synapses, she's from the 50s.
Yeah,
I really believe she's from like a bygone era.
She is. She's like, in my day, she's like from Mona Lisa Smile. Yeah.
She would be
from Julia Roberts' art history class in Mona Lisa Smile.
Or what's that other movie with Gabby Hoffman where they're at the boarding school? Fuck.
What is that movie?
Hold on.
Hold, please.
Her mom's name is Viva. Love.
Chic.
All I Want to Do.
Oh my God.
It's like the...
I've like seen that, but I can't remember anything about like it. It's
like the B-side Mona Lisa Smile.
Okay.
But it's so good, and Gabby Hoffman's in it, and it's amazing.
Rachel
Lee Cook.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I feel like Amy was in that movie.
Amy was... She was part of that. And
she's, Kiki Dunst is in it.
Yeah. And All I Want to Do.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Wow. She cornered the market on like 50s.
I think that one takes place in the 60s. It's so good. You have to watch it.
Okay. Yeah.
All I Want to Do. Like, everyone revisit. Watch it. But Amy is like from that. She's like from, I went to Radcliffe. What's going on here?
She's like, I studied literature, but now I'm in the arts.
I went to Bryn Mawr. I'm a Bryn Mawr girl.
Truly marvelous Mrs. Maisel. She really is.
I know.
God bless her. She's like wearing like a she's wearing like a sensible duster coat and like clutching her handbag.
Yeah.
She's like,
also her friend that
she
brings.
Who is this modern girl?
She's thoroughly modern Millie.
She is thoroughly modern
Millie. She got off the bus.
She's all the way from Miami. That's Florida, don't you know?
Florida, don't you know? You come up the panhandle. But so Amy, Sharon and Jane know each other, so they like interact.
They hobnob.
And Liz sees Amy and is immediately like shuts down. And she says, Amy is like my social albatross, which was like
so mean.
She's being so mean to her. She's making Amy feel so desperate and like awkward. And Amy knows
Amy
that
can't handle like anyone being mad at her. Like it's going to drive her into like a tizzy. And so she immediately senses Liz like going ice cold, and then she goes into like
catatonia
and then gives her whole history with Liz to carry. Amy goes into like pure like Amy Sherman Palladino drama.
Yeah,
she's like, well, we grew up together and I've known her for the longest time. I've known her since preschool, don't you know? And then Carrie's
you
like,
see,
Carrie's like, so you're really close with her? And she goes, well, you could say that. Yeah.
You could say that.
Okay, what drama?
Well, we went to the lower school, you see. We went to the all-girls school on the Upper East Side. You know that one? That the all-girls school. What was it called? The all-girls school.
You see? You see?
Yeah,
so
like,
we go way back, you see? And then Carrie's
like, stop. We go way back. Stop. See, stop. We go way back. And she goes, and Carrie's like, so you know her. And she's like, You could say that.
She goes full noir. Amy's now in like a noir movie.
She like stares off and she goes, you could say that. And then she stares off and goes, you could say that. Yeah, you could say that. So she goes up to Liz and she's like, I said Amy says the saddest thing in the world.
With no one, where someone stops talking to you and you just don't know why.
Yeah.
And Liz says she can't hang out with Amy post rehab. So wait, Liz like went to rehab, but is not sober because later we see at the party, she's like drinking wine.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I like clocked that because I was like, what did you go to rehab for? So you now take umbrage. But like, what is the rehab for? Oxy?
Coke? She said she was doing a lot of coke.
Okay.
So is she one of those people that's like, I just drink wine now, but I don't do drugs?
Maybe. Who knows?
Okay.
I would love to get more of like a clarity on her like rehab journey.
Maybe it's just like, I'm just speaking on personal behalf, like, and maybe just, but like, give me a sip of wine and I'm like trolling for coke. Like you give me a little bit of like, give me a little yellowtail, fucking Merlot.
Chardonnay.
Give me a little Chardonnay. I'm like fiending.
Yeah.
I'm like
critical.
Get it now. Like I don't understand. Like props to her for being able to drink wine casually. Because like the minute I have one glass of wine, I'm like, we're going. But that's just me.
Hey, you know what?
Good for her.
But it's also like, I mean, I understand not wanting to be around someone that's like a messy for drunk. Sure. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, judgy-wudgy much? Like,
that's the thing, too. Like, I'm like...
You clearly were... It's all like kind of a projection, right? Because Liz went to rehab. She has this big issue with her dad, who's like not forgiving her for being a mess. But she's like replicating the same pattern with Amy, who she like looks down on, and then just like does the same thing with her.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like once you get sober, like if like you, it's not. I don't think it's cool to look down on people who drink still.
Yeah,
it's like I like being out, and like it's, I mean, I don't go out a lot, but like I, when I'm at a party and stuff, like I don't mind. And like, I'm not like, if something's like super triggering, I'll like remove myself, and I'm not going to like be passive aggressive with them and like glare at them. And like,
no,
like maybe in the beginning, like I had like one or two moments where I was like, I can't handle this and like, or something, but like,
but if I'm getting weirded out by someone, I leave.
Yeah. But don't, yeah. Don't, but don't like embarrass them and be like,
no.
You know what you did. Like, yeah. Don't shame. Like, it's not going to help anyone.
Also, was Amy that bad? I mean, she said she, like, fucked Eli, and that was it. And that she thought he was, like, cute. She's, like, loud, but she's iconic.
I totally forgot that she fucked Eli.
She was, like, we dated, and I think he's, like, I kind of like him.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Eli's, like, enmeshed in this community in a way that I'm, like, what is the deal? I love how
she said
it, too.
She's, like, I kind of like him.
I kind of like him. We went out. And she's, like, she thinks that they have, like, a connection, which I don't think Eli thinks.
No.
But he still likes the attention.
Oh, for sure.
He is a gallery girl.
He is.
He is, like, not pictured in the opening scene, but, like, later on, and we'll get to this, but, like... I realized watching this episode, which I've never realized before, that Eli is like he is a gallery girl.
He's like Simon on The Real Housewives of New York, Alex McCord's husband. Yeah. He's just like always
an essential part of the cast.
He is. So then we cut to Carrie's party, the big night of the party.
The big night is here. Amy invites
someone to Carrie's party.
She invites Liz
to Carrie's party.
And Liz is like, how could you like invite me to this party? It's like, she's already invited. Like, Liz now just wants to be mean to someone. So Amy's the scapegoat.
Yeah. She's not going to win with Liz.
No. So Angela's the first to arrive.
Kind of love that.
Yeah.
I was like, I said, I give her props.
Yeah.
Punctuality. Angela's there and she's like, I'm here. Came from Brooklyn.
She's arrived.
But Angela... God, I like her for a minute, and then the next minute, I'm like, you are really annoying.
Yeah.
Because she's like, she comes first, she seems like Carrie and her are actually like having a nice time together, like kind of, she's like kind of helping her set up a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But then Angela is like, I don't know about this party, and I feel like everyone here is going to be like really obnoxious and like bro-y and douchey, so like it's going to be fun to see what kind of people, it's like, shut up, why'd you come?
I know, like, who do you think you are?
Yeah. It's like, obviously, they're going to be basic, but like, who cares? Like,
whatever.
You're basic.
You're all here.
We're all basic.
We're all basic at the end of the day. Angela says she thinks the party is homogenous.
Which, true.
It's kind of.
It's pretty white.
Yeah.
I think she's the only person of non-white.
Yeah, that's true. So keen observation.
I wrote, Carrie has so many friends. Who has that many friends?
So many friends. I was like, who is Carrie? She's a social butterfly.
She has like 50 friends. I'm like, I have like...
Her party was packed.
I have like 3 friends.
I know. She's also in her best, like, she's doing like a full Breakfast at Tiffany's look with her like little black dress and like her diamond, like backwards necklace.
I wish I had gloves for her.
I know. She needed like a long cigarette on like a long cigarette holder.
Come on in. Let me entertain.
She loves to entertain. She's such an adult in this world where it's like...
I want to entertain.
It feels wrong.
It does feel wrong.
It feels foreign and wrong. I'm Amy, confused. We're all Amy, confused at Carrie's very existence.
Yeah. Carrie's, I think that's...
Is Carrie actually like 39?
I think Amy might be on to something.
Amy does not trust Carrie whatsoever.
Have you seen that Cola Skull video where he's like... Something didn't sit right.
Wasn't right. That's Amy.
Amy with Carrie at all times.
That's like Tony will sometimes get this look on his face where he's like suspicious or just doesn't trust something, and that's fully Amy with Carrie.
So
what
Claudia,
I hope Amy discovers Carrie's secret.
I think it's just because Carrie's is not meant to be on the show.
Yeah,
she's too like normal.
I like thinking that Amy like will one day discover this like nefarious, horrific truth about Carrie.
It's like the orphan.
Yeah.
She's like actually like a 6-year-old Russian orphan who has like some
like
ailment.
A sex worker, yeah. Russian hooker orphan.
So then Chantel and Claudia arrive, which surprised me. They look like literal witches.
They are.
Chantel arrives in a fur. They're in all black. They stick out like a sore thumb.
They came from mixing the cauldron to this party.
Angela, they don't even greet Carrie. Angela greets them. Mm-hmm. And then they just like the three of them just completely separate themselves and they stick out like a sore thumb and
stand in a corner. Yeah. And then like Angela starts playing a card game with that. Like, I don't know where she gets these prompts or if they were like sitting around the apartment as like a way everyone can get to know each other. But then Angela's like, who do you want to like secretly like sleep with or whatever? And then Claudia goes, I've always wanted to sleep with Spencer, which is kind of a wild thing to say in front of like your best friend and business partner.
And Chantel's like, hey, like she was like, she thought it was like funny.
She kind of thinks it's funny and then like slaps Spencer.
Yeah. Spencer,
I couldn't read if it was like a funny admission.
No, Claudia looked
Claudia,
like kind
like,
of
legit
bad.
Wants to like.
She kind of like she was like blushing a little.
She like wants to fuck Spencer.
Yeah,
I mean,
I do
same.
Too. Like he's
like,
really
I feel
hot.
That. He's hot as shit.
He just has such BDE. It's crazy.
Yeah, and he's just like floppy.
Yeah, and like
he's just like a boyfriend
and like short but like hot. And I bet he has a nice body.
He's like, he and Chantel are like the perfect size matchup for each other.
Uh-huh.
He's like, you know, a boyfriend like that is just going to be like, okay, like he like is supportive and like sexy and cute.
But Spencer also was like, he like kind of loved it. He was like,
he loves it.
And then
he's
and
a
then,
perv.
And then
he has a safe.
He does.
That he keeps pouring in.
But then they started talking about.
Well, then he is like, actually, I have an Asian fetish. And like turns to Angela and is basically like, I want to fuck Angela.
Okay. Just so far, we've seen, there's been a lot of.
There's a lot of Asian talk on this show.
Like, remember when the guys came into that bar and they were like, it's Asian week? Like,
yeah.
It's a little like.
There's a lot of Liz trashing her fellow Asian classmates.
Yeah,
Eli runs like an Asian art gallery.
It makes me deeply uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable.
It's not.
It doesn't age well.
It's not right.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad, and I apologize.
You apologize on behalf of the gallery girls to the community.
No, it's just
I apologize. Like, their actions are unconscionable, and I apologize.
No, I'm not trying to be like.
No, I know.
But, like, 2012 was, like, a really different time.
It really was.
Crazy.
It's weird that, like, in less than 10 years...
So much has changed.
There's such a cultural shift. But at least there is that cultural shift. So people aren't saying this kind of shit on TV anymore.
My friend just sent me... Newsflash. My friend just sent me... She's at some... She's at the Paley Fest.
Uh-huh.
And... They sent me Meghan. They have Meghan Markle's suits outfits on full display.
Oh my god!
And I need to go.
You've got to go.
She's like a pencil skirt.
Literally, her suits outfit is a blouse and a skirt. Like they're not that exciting.
The Duchess of Sussex. Wow.
That's amazing.
Anyway, just had to share that with everyone.
I love that they're like her suits from Suits, which was the least exciting kind of clothing you could possibly wear.
Attorney. Her paralegal outfits.
Yeah.
So Liz comes in and she's completely suspicious of Carrie's apartment. She's like, how does she afford it?
She's also, she just, it's always suspicion with Amy.
Liz.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Liz.
She's a snob.
Liz is like, grew up in a type of wealth that like, I can't comprehend. Yeah.
But Carrie, it's like Carrie, because she works really hard.
Because she has a job.
She's like several jobs.
Yeah. And like hustled her bustle to get her apartment.
There's also
Liz
a great...
Liz like, she's like, my apartment's like small, but better than hers, but hers is like huge. And I just like don't get how you can have a huge... And I'm like, you're a bitch.
Liz.
Also, no one wants to hang out with her and Maggie. There's a shot of them sitting alone together drinking white wine on a couch, and everyone is like away from them, and they're just like, they look so unhappy and bored.
Yeah, they look like a couple of sour pusses.
Yeah, like, that's where you belong.
That's where you belong, on the couch. I wrote,
no one wants to hang out with Maggie and Liz at the party. Who would? Several question marks. I'm Amy.
Amy is speaking of which, she barges in with another middle-aged woman named
another
Rena.
Time loop woman.
Another time loop
they're
woman.
They're both from these, there's this faction of women who were like at like a luncheon in the 50s and then came out of the restaurant and New York was suddenly in 2011.
They like, but Amy is in her 20s and brought like a 40-year-old woman as her plus one to this house party.
I wrote WTF.
I was really confused. And we don't find her name out till later when she has to, like, run.
Gotta go.
Raina's gonna be furious. And it's like, what? Who is this lady?
Liz and Maggie are just so mean to Amy. They're like, they don't even say hi to her friend. They're like, just so cold to her.
They're talking shit about her the moment, like, right before she enters. And then she comes in and they're like, oh, perfect. Like, she's here. And then they watch her go up to Carrie. There's like, all she does is like kiss people's asses and like tell them they're beautiful. And she goes up to Carrie and she's like, God, you're so beautiful. Your apartment's amazing.
She goes, this is nice. And you hear her off screen going, wow, this is just like the nicest apartment I've ever been in.
Which is also like a lie. Yeah. And then Liz and Maggie just look at each other and they're like, a fucking course. Like, they're, and it's so rude.
I know. And then at one point, Amy goes, it's official. Liz and I are frenemies. It's official.
She's trying to bring some sort of like levity to this really tragic situation, which is like she's real out of her league and about to just like humiliate herself for the remainder of this show.
Yeah.
But like, God bless her.
God bless Amy.
God bless Amy. We cut to Angela doing like the classic thing of people being like, you look like a model. And she's like, well, I'm actually too fat to model.
She goes, I was one. I mean, I have been. I got fired from my agency because I'm too fat.
And it's like, I can't handle when like a really skinny person like laughs at how fat they are.
And then this other woman goes, oh, so you like food? And she goes, I love food. I was like, and then Angela goes, you know, I'm having a change of heart about Liz because she has a sleeve tattoo.
Oh, yeah. At first, she thought she was, like, way too Orange County, but then she saw her tattoo sleeve and she changed her mind.
Angela's very judgmental about, like, Orange County.
She hates Orange County. Oh, my God. Plus, I found out that Angela is not even from, like, Newport. Somebody had drinks with someone and they were like, she's not from, like, Newport Beach or, like, Huntington. She's, like, more inland Orange County, which was a read.
Wow. Yeah, I know where that is.
Amy is now, she's so thrown by Liz that she's now talking to people as though they were Barbara Walters interviewing her.
Yeah.
So, like, someone's asking her, like, a very, like, normal question. She goes, I am working with Carrie. I am. It's like, Amy, take a fucking chill pill.
That's right.
You could say that.
You could say that we are. Yes, we are in fact interning together. Yes.
I am working with Carrie. I am.
And then you hear like the girls be like, the EOC girls are all like, Amy's like, I gotta go. She goes, I gotta go to a charity thing with Raina. We gotta go now. I'm sorry. I gotta go.
Raina's gonna be furious. Raina's gonna wring my neck. Go to a charity event.
She's like, so good to see you. I'll see you later. I'll come by, maybe I'll come by Eli's studio to see you, Liz. And Liz is like, okay.
Liz is like, fuck off and die.
Go, please die tonight.
Yeah.
And then Amy's like, gotta go, bye.
I know, flounces out to get to like the charity.
And then all the girls assemble in the kitchen and they all just make fun of Amy. Claudia's like, I think Amy is like
really sweet.
But I think she's.
And then Angela's like, I notice that everyone calls Amy sweet, but I think they're trying to say something else.
And then Liz goes, thank you, hallelujah. And then they slap hands.
Oh, it's like, I can't imagine what it would be like to be Amy and like watch this would be.
Amy, if you're listening, we love you.
We love you. We stan. And tell us what secret dark truths you found out about Carrie.
You know. So then we cut to Maggie's the next night at Maggie's.
her birthday party. Her
bowling party. So they assemble at her apartment for pre-drinks, mm-hmm. for a pre-game sesh.
The merging of friends.
Pre-drinks. What am I, like,
pre-game.
British?
I always have an aperitif.
I always said pre-gaming. I don't know why I said pre-drinks.
Well, you know, you've been living that sober life and you're not familiar with
what's
pre-gaming.
That thing?
Pre-drinks.
No, I was a pre-gamer. I used to like...
You're like, my whole life was a pre-game.
It was. I like... God, pre-gaming is always such a... Like, I would... Like...
The concept of pre-gaming is something so foreign to me now, yeah. too. Because it's like, why would I... Like, I would not drink in anticipation of drinking. You know what I mean? Like, that's yeah. a very young
But it was such a thing.
It was such a thing. Are you getting together at a pregame? It's like, what, to binge drink beers and, like, slam shots so that we can go out and binge drink after we binge drink?
And do coke.
And do coke.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
For me, it was more just, like, more binge drinking. It was like, let's, like, accelerate... Like, I would love to just, like, accelerate my blackout. So, like, let's just, like, binge it up now.
Let's fucking do it.
So that I can be totally... out of it but yet still functioning with yeah. my eyes open talking like a human being and remember nothing from yeah. like 10 p.m. onwards.
I want to be a facade of myself.
Yeah.
I want to be a husk of my like former self.
I want to be a little robot
who by the time I get into that Uber on the way to the bar, mm-hmm. I want to be on the bar.
Yeah.
I want to be like not in my body.
I want to have chunks of my memory just eviscerated.
Yeah.
Where I fully went through the motions like a scarecrow, yet have no memories of anything that happened.
But it should have just been like, now that I think about it, it was always like, the pregame was always better than
always.
The actual. So like, you might as well just...
binge drink in your apartment with your friends.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, you like get excited and hyped up to go out where it's going to just be like...
Terrible.
Terrible. You're going to wait in line. You're going to wait at the bar. You're going
to
like...
You have to pee
pay a lot of money.
Seconds.
Wait in lines and bathrooms. And it's like, not that great.
Talk to people. Scream rasp at people.
Scream rasp. Find me a good man.
Find me...
Show me a man.
Show me a man who loves you on a
trailer park and loves me for me. That's a good man.
Show me a man who loves me on a Tuesday the same way he loves me on a Saturday. So then we see. So Ryan brings over all his like Long Island bro friends, and then Maggie has her gay friend and her other friend. And I was so uncomfortable for the gay guy because I like these guys were like
the gay guy's like just gotten a fresh pair of like Louboutins.
Yeah.
And everyone's like really excited about them. And then someone brings up Grindr.
All the guys, I've been there before where you're the only gay guy and the straight guys are like, dude, do you just like fuck all the time? Do you just like get like if I was gay, I would just be fucking all the time. Do you ever go on Grindr? Like my one gay friend goes on Grindr. Do you want to see his picture?
Yeah. And they're like, what's Grindr? And then they're like, oh, my friend's like, as a joke, put me on Grindr, haha. And it's like, isn't it funny that your lifestyle is a joke, is the punchline for me and my friend?
And then they're like, look, my friend did this thing where he superimposed my face on the picture of this guy getting fucked. And then they like show the blurred out picture and everyone goes, oh, sick. And like, and then the gay guy has to like kind of like laugh along with it.
Laugh and like go along. And
God damn it, I've been there before.
Yeah, it was a, I felt for Chris in that moment.
Yeah, I was like, flee now and go to like
go out alone.
Yeah, go to Barracuda. Get out of there. Go to like anywhere but this horrible moment that you're having.
Like an awful bowling alley.
My friend, do you want to see a picture? I have a gay friend. You want to see a picture of him? You guys can maybe go out.
Like telling someone that someone did something that you like to do as a joke is actually like incredibly rude.
I know. And Maggie was just kind of like, if I were, I was
just like, I hate this guy.
Yeah.
I hate all these guys. Like, why did I do this?
Yeah.
I wish I could text Eli. She probably did text Eli from the bathroom.
Eli wouldn't have done that.
Eli would not have done that. Eli would never ask. He would never ask your gay friend about Grindr.
Yeah.
Eli would have an elevated conversation about the wine. He'd offer to refill your glass. He definitely would overserve Maggie.
Yeah.
And like they would absolutely not go to a bowling alley.
So they go to the bowling alley and the boys will be boys tonight. They just like run
amok.
They
start like grab-assing each other and yeah. like wrestling.
They're like wrestling in the bowling alley.
They're gayer than the gay guy.
Yeah, the gay guy's like, and her friend, she only has two friends, by the way, at this party.
Yeah, she doesn't have a lot of friends, and then it's all the bros.
It's all Ryan's friends.
They're like slamming bowling balls down on the ground, and then Ryan goes, make pretend it's a girl's vagina. Yeah. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to stick my dick in the hole of the ball.
You're a child. Who are you?
Make
pretend it's a girl's vagina.
Who says make pretend?
I don't know. I wrote that down, and I was like, what? Yikes. They're like play wrestling.
Make pretend one of the bowling hole is a woman's orifice.
Like, what is wrong with you people?
It was disgusting.
Cretans.
Had they ever been to a bowling alley before?
Eli, have they ever been let out of a cage?
And Maggie's going, hey, stop it.
She's like me when Tony like bites something that he chews on a basket. And I'm like, hey. Maggie pulls him aside. She goes, you're making fools out of us.
No, and then Maggie, he goes, I'm not doing anything. And she goes, no, but you're going along with it. Or she said, what did she say? She said something like that's kind of like.
It's very mom.
She said something. Yeah, it was like she was talking
to
her son.
It's very mom and like not understanding what kind of person you've decided to date.
Yeah.
Like you just like you need to like drop this fool.
Yeah.
It's like, not meant to be. She's like, if it were up to me, we would have gone to like a really nice restaurant. And like instead we're going bowling. It's like, bitch, it's your birthday. Like, yeah, I'm on Team Liz with like drop this fool.
Yeah. Why wasn't Liz there?
You think Liz
yeah,
is gonna
true.
Like
Jesus Christ.
Fuck with any of that?
Yeah, it was like a. I felt for her, but I was also like, but your other option is like a weird, like psychosexual. But at least Eli would be like.
At least Eli's like cultured.
Yeah, these guys are.
Like Eli would be like interesting to talk to about
goobers.
Like a variety of things. Yeah. This guy is
make
like
pretend.
Make pretend it's a vagina. It's like, what?
A bowling ball?
Like, what?
Have you ever been bowling? Like, yeah, they have holes in them.
Like, I can't.
Make pretend my ass is a girl's vagina.
And then, like, they're, like, wrestling, like, biting each other's nipples. I'm like, you guys, just, like, fuck it out already.
It wasn't even,
they
like.
They are truly the kind of guys that do a bunch of coke and then one gives one a hand job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While, like, watching porn.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, it wasn't gay.
Yeah.
And then they like go the rest of their lives. Like they never have another gay experience again. They're probably not gay, but they like definitely jerk each other off every once in a while.
It wasn't even like hot. Like they were just so annoying that it was like, it wasn't the kind of homoerotic that's like, it wasn't
sexy.
Like a charged MMF, like as
no.
we talked about earlier.
No, it certainly wasn't.
It was just
You know us. We're here for like a sexy wrestling moment.
But it was not. It was a just goobers like make pretending and like
wild animals.
Make pretend
in the girl's vagina. It's like shut up. Like take your shirt off and do a 20 push-ups for that. Like
yeah.
You need to like sex yourself up again.
Yeah, totally. Any I thought it was maybe a little like sexy, but
it all went away. How quickly it comes and goes, allegiances and alliances on the show.
I just wrote ugh, I need to die. Then we cut to Angela's Sunday night potluck dinner. Which is, I was expecting a giant party,
yeah.
And they're coming first. So she's like, inspired by Carrie's party, I'm going to have a sorority sluts party. It's like, cool.
Okay, great. And she made jello shots and then like a weird sheet cake with like whipped cream on it.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, where was the food?
Someone was like, I'm going to make a frozen pizza, which was like, okay, cool. But like, there was no food. And then they sat around with like a lot of overhead lighting and like. Talked.
Yeah, no one ate.
It was not a fun like party.
They had like they were doing like Peter like hook food.
Yeah.
Like with the Lost Boys with like the Invisible Feast. They were like
oh, totally.
they were like pretending they were eating.
Like spaghetti.
Yeah.
Yeah. Angela like wears a wig, Claudia wears pink, and then Chantal like refuses to dress up and just like shows up in all black with like a pink sash. But eventually they put her in like a tank top.
I like that she showed up in all black.
Chantal is always on brand.
She goes, my idea of sororities are girls drinking a lot, eating unhealthy foods, and crying.
And I was living like, in a house. You're not wrong.
So, and then Alex comes.
Alex comes, and then
he goes, I haven't done jello shots in like, you would think he was going to say like years, and he goes, a week.
Love that.
Yeah.
Chantal then propositions Angela for a threesome.
Yeah, she was like, do you want to come over?
Do you want to come over and like get into bed with me and Spencer? So now Angela's like on board with Spencer's Asian fetish and is like just trying to keep her man happy.
And Claudia is in the corner like stewing.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a total dig, another dig at Claudia.
Yeah.
Like another calculated way to destroy Claudia.
She's getting her revenge for saying that.
Is to be like, and revenge for like being such a failure at end of century.
But also a revenge for saying that about her man in front of her.
Yes. That's, and also to reiterate that Spencer doesn't want to fuck Claudia.
Yeah.
He wants to fuck Angela.
She's
and
some...
now Chantal also wants to fuck Angela. And no one wants to fuck you, Claudia. How does it feel? And so many mind games are at play in this like sorority. Yeah.
Like, Chantal,
Angela's like, trying to play mind games with Carrie so that when Carrie watches this, she feels bad about herself.
Yeah. Chantal also, like, she's one of those people that, like, if you, she'll, it might not be tomorrow, it might not be next year, but she will destroy you at some point.
Yeah.
She'll plan.
And everything that she does is a teeny tiny seed of your destruction that she's planted. Mm-hmm. And you won't realize it at the time until you look back years later in therapy and then realize, oh my god, when she said that to Angela, she was like totally fucking with me.
Yeah, it's so twisted.
It's very amazing.
And then Angela goes, so Alex has failed yet again to get to get a venue. And then Alex is like, what the fuck, you're insane. And she goes, I was wondering if you guys could host the photo show at EOC. And then you see Chantal just shakes her head. She just silently smiles and goes, mm-mm. And then Claudia goes, we're booked.
She would love to, but we're booked.
And then Angela goes,
we're totally booked.
And Angela goes, wow, I was really counting on you guys. Like, totally dry. I was like, what?
Also, I love, like, these are your best friends with their, like, store that's just, like, flailing. Yeah. Anyways, if you did sell her paintings, you might make some money.
I know.
There might actually be some people that would like come and get her photos.
Their lack of sense about like
about how anything
instincts.
Works. And then Claudia being like, this is also Claudia's moment to like get back at Angela for being like so fuckable to everyone.
Yeah.
In her friend group, and then just going, we're totally booked.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just, like, take a painting down for one day and put up Angela's shitty photographs and, like, pour wine into plastic cups.
Angela goes, I was really counting on you. And they go, sorry.
Sorry.
And then but I love Chantal just goes. And then they throw food at each other.
They have a cake fight in an apartment, which really stresses me
out. With no windows.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any windows in her apartment.
There's no windows. It's one of those like Brooklyn apartments that might have one small window
in
a little tiny bedroom that's like the size of a twin bed.
Been in there.
Yeah. They do not make me yearn for like a New York life.
In the beginning, it's cute in your 20s, but then it's like.
But then you're just like, oh my God, I live in a shoebox. I live in a coffin.
Yeah. It's casket living.
They throw cake everywhere.
Yeah. I was like, who's going to clean that up? Not yeah. Angela.
No. Then we have just like a short interim of Chantal doing yoga.
Getting like felt up by her instructor.
She's one of three people in a yoga class.
And he's like, oh, you're doing really well, Chantal. Let's see you demonstrate that again. And Chantal's like, I don't like being touched.
By strangers.
But I'll let it slide in this case.
She's like, he totally ruined my zen.
It was so weird.
It was very weird.
And then we cut to
Maggie and Liz.
Mm-hmm.
They meet for like a Sex in the City walk near the park.
Maggie's basically like talking about her boyfriend, and
they just both bitch about their boyfriends.
And then Liz goes, even though I come from a wealthy family, at least I know how to stick up for myself. And I was like, what does that mean?
What does one have to do with the other? Liz is obsessed with her own wealth.
Liz is like Sandra Bullocking in Gravity, like farther away from orbit with me. Like,
yeah.
She was like right there with her, and now she's just drifting.
Yeah. It's like they all find ways to become like supremely unlikable. But I think Amy Chantal remains iconic mm-hmm. as like an iconic villain.
Yeah.
Like a Disney villainess.
Yeah. She's always been who she is.
She always is like 100% Chantal. And then Amy is iconic as like so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And those are really the two ones that I like gun for.
Yeah. Everyone else is. Mm. I also said Bravo uses a lot of when they do like a transition shot on like the next location, they use that like old Instagram filter.
Yeah, it's really jarring.
Also, speaking of EOC's Instagram, End of Century still has an Instagram.
What is their Instagram handle?
It's End of Century.
Oh my god.
That's
chic, actually.
It's
ghoulish.
It is so ghoulish. Brody Lancaster, who follows, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's a fan. She's really funny. She sent me some like EOC like highlights,
mm-hmm.
and then I went on a whole like K hole of it, and I went all the way back to 2011. And their first post was in Miami, and the caption was Miami, Miami. And then there's just a shot. They're all like terrible. Like
they're Instagram, witchy,
but it was like when Instagram was everyone had was still those trying ugly to figure
filters.
It out.
Yeah,
bad filters. There's like weird shots of like Chantal with like all black on, and there's a shot of Lara,
mm-hmm.
and it has no likes.
Oh no, zero. Guys, go back and like the photo of Lara.
Yeah, guys, and don't troll.
No trolls, only nice things.
Anyway, and also, what was with all the bootleg like Vampire Weekend music in this episode?
It
was like
it was really weird. Maggie though says she's never dated someone who needs someone to tell them things.
What?
She says like about Ryan, she's like, I've never dated someone who like needs me to like tell them things. Like it's like dating someone
who needs you to
like, yeah, like tell them just like day to day things. Like, I guess what to do or like how to act.
Yeah.
She's like, Ryan never partied in high school and then he got to college and then just started like going out and getting crazy. And now he's just like stuck in that mode.
Which is real.
Yeah. But it's also like, okay, then break up with him.
Yeah. You're not married.
No. You don't need to get married. You don't need to be in a serious relationship with this person. She's like, he needs me to tell him things. Like, tell him you're done with this relationship.
Why are you with
move
him?
On. Like, why are you with him?
No more Bruce Bogtrotter.
No one should be with anyone who they feel like they have to tell a lot of things to.
Yeah.
Like, instruct on, like, how to be.
Angela randomly admits to shoplifting.
Yeah, she shoplifts from Barney's.
Also, Claudia, they're at EOC at some show thing they're doing.
They're having an event. They won't let Angela show there, but they're like, you can do event photography for us.
She's wearing like a spiky,
she calls it a gothosaur.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Claudia,
oh God.
Claudia calls Angela
Yoko Ono. Which is like, no.
Because she's fighting. She and Alex get into a tiff about like how he's failing her. And she's like, you're supposed to be my best friend. And he's like, I am your best friend. Like, I can't get you a venue. And then Claudia goes, whoa, whoa. Gays and Asians, I can't handle either of you. And walks away. I was like, go fuck yourself, Claudia.
God.
She calls Angela Yoko Ono.
She goes, you're being crazy. You're being Yoko Ono.
The casual racism on the show
is wild. Much like it's very like high society.
It is. So then we cut to the next day.
Oof.
So this Amy's gallery. Amy
has devised a master plan to get lit to the bottom of why Liz hates her / like win her back.
She shows up to Eli's gallery with a box of cupcakes from like Magnolia.
Yeah. And this is
she's like, I thought I would just stop by and gave you all cupcakes.
But she doesn't just stop by. First, she messages Eli being like, are you all at the gallery? I'm going to come by with cupcakes. And then Eli tells Liz, who then tells Maggie. And then they're like whispering, being like, she's going to fucking come by here with like cupcakes. What the fuck? And so then Amy shows up and she's doing this act of like innocent, like, she's acting like a different person.
Yeah.
Like when you know that you're being insane, but then you try and mask it with like this wide-eyed
mm-hmm.
innocence.
Yeah.
She's like, I was just in the neighborhood and I thought I'd bring some cupcakes.
Yeah, I just happened to be in a part of the city that I don't spend time in at all. And I thought I'd bring a bunch of pastries.
And like, I just wrote in my notes, Amy, no.
I wrote, she's Dawn and Welcome to the Dollhouse.
I wrote, I want to throw up. I felt like sick to my stomach during this scene.
And Eli's there, and then Eli and Maggie have something, and then Amy and Eli had something, and then it's so weird. And then she's like, Liz, I thought maybe we could get some, if you have some time, I'm going to be around the corner at a coffee place. She says it like 8 times. Around the corner at a coffee place.
She goes, if you're free, I'm just going to be right around the corner.
Right around the corner at a coffee place. You know, a coffee place. And she's like, yep. I know that one. She's like, you know, that one. She doesn't say what it is.
You know, that coffee place. I know things are busy at work. So if you're free, it's like busy at work. She's sitting here like there's nothing going on.
She's like, I'll be around the corner. See? So come on down if you want. But if you don't, I'll be there till dusk. I have to be getting back by sundown because I can't be out after dark around here.
The time loop sends me right back to the 50s where I belong.
She's like,
but for the day, I get to be out and about in this brave new world.
Like the car service is coming back at around twilight, so I have to be getting back to the Upper East Side by then. But until then, I'll be at the coffee place. Just,
you know, I can't drive sort of idling, to the park.
Sort of idling. And
oh my
God. A woman can't be out after dark.
I wrote, Amy, I'm going to have a heart attack.
So Liz is like, yeah, I'll be there. Give me 5 minutes. So then Liz goes to her to meet her at this place, and they just like have this really terrible conversation where Liz is just like, you're a mess of a person. I feel like you're fake. You're afraid. You're insecure in your own skin, which is like all true things. But like,
yeah,
don't say it.
She goes, she's like, the reason I have a problem with you is because you were like so drunk at Eli's like dinner. And she goes, you were wasted, retarded. And Amy goes, I don't remember. And she goes, because you were like wasted. And then Amy goes, I was? Oh gosh.
She clutches her pearls.
I feel really bad about that.
She goes, I feel really bad about that. I don't even remember that. And she's like, yeah, I know, because you were blackout. And Amy's like, oh golly me. Oh gosh.
It's like, yeah, Amy, you know you fucking love to throw one back. Like,
yeah, you're going to Dorian's after this.
Yeah, she's like, well, I think of myself as a fun little blonde girl who likes to have a good time. She's doing this like wide-eyed like Natalie act. I'm just like, I can't, Amy.
I'm just a good time blonde. That's what they call me.
Good time blonde, little good time blonde. That's what they call me back at home. Sure, I like to have a beer every once in a while.
Sure, I like to have a beer too, or a martini and six, but.
I'm just a little blonde.
I'm never uncouth about it.
No.
I'm always a lady about it. I'm just a blonde. I just like to have fun. I like to bring out the fun in others. And then Liz is like, you should go to therapy.
Maybe you need to go to therapy or like figure it out. And Amy's just like,
well, I've never thought about therapy. I don't think I need that. But
I don't think a woman should talk about her feelings. Then
maybe I could schedule an appointment with a pediatrician of some kind and sit down and talk to him.
Oh, Amy.
I'll go to the family doctor. The family doctor, he'll make a house call and I'll have him over.
And maybe he'll give me some Valium. I hear that's good for women these days.
One up, one down, that kind of thing.
When they get a little too worked up, just take a little Valium. That's
take a little edge off,
that's
right?
That's what I'll do. That's what I'll do.
Arrow pointing up, arrow pointing down. Take him at once. I'm all like happy as a clown.
Amy apologizes and like she
grovels.
She grovels and grovels. And then like you think that it's kind of resolved. And then she's like, but I really like your shirt. And I'm not just saying that. I really do. And it's like, oh my God. It's like she can't help herself.
Yeah.
But like, it's the only way she knows how to like relate to another person, I think.
She was
is through like,
I was
compliment.
Always trained to be nice to others. And at Radcliffe, we were taught at Radcliffe to always be women of the world and present ourselves as such. And Liz is like, okay, I'm going to go back.
Yeah. Before I took this art history class taught by a wild woman, I was always nice to people. I stayed in my lane.
But one night she took me down to the Greenwich Village, you see, and we sat around a party and beatniks were smoking dope and talking about things, and I believe there was a homosexual there.
We ate peanuts and threw the shells right on the floor, and I danced with a with a drag queen, and I kind of liked it.
And the woman, my teacher, this wild woman, she revealed to me that she was in fact a communist, you see, and she was a communist sympathizer. She wasn't fully in the party, but she sympathized with them. And I went to the bathroom. I took a breath and I had a cigarette and I blew it out the window and I felt so bad for smoking in the house. But I thought, oh, a communist, the Reds. I'm in the enemy zone. I should be heading back to the Upper East Side. But then I thought, you know what, Amy? We're in the Greenwich Village. I should be part of the Rome. You know, when in Rome and I'll do what the Romans do. So I went in there and I told her, I think that's great.
I think it's wonderful.
That's lovely, and I think that's neat.
I think it's unique.
I think it's unique, and I think it's quite neat. And if you want to sympathize with those people, then that's your choice. And
by God.
By God, we can still be friends, and I'll have a good time. So let's go talk to that homosexual.
Let's pour another drink. And she goes, and you at the piano, play a little ditty. I'd like to sing something. And then she sings.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
And that's Amy. It.
Oh my God, wait, there was one other really good troll where Maggie came into Eli Klein and Eli's sitting at the computer and she goes, oh my God, Eli, your hair, no gel today? And she was trolling.
Love.
And I liked that for her. It was a little tiny take back the power moment.
He was like, sad Eli.
Eli mad.
Well,
woo!
That was a doozy.
Yeah, and that's one of the most uncomfortable scenes I think of
on reality TV
ever.
God bless Amy.
God bless her and those cupcakes. Those cupcakes look good.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here, for being queer,
for being,
and for not having a beer, because that might lead to some shenanigans.
You said it.
And I respect your
journey.
You
said it, sister. You said it.
And you can follow Carrie at eCario on Twitter and Insta. He's a great follow.
And follow Caroline Calloway.
Tell us
your thoughts. Read the piece.
Yeah, read the piece. Get involved. SexUniquePodcast@gmail.com if you have any thoughts. And with that, we're going to move on to the bonus episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.